Welcome to this week's Ox Talk for Tuesday, the 20th of August, 2024. This week's news items from the local papers were selected by Stuart Jeffrey and Bridget Dool, and they were read by Janet Proudman and Bridget Dool. The copying and distribution of the USB sticks is by Michelle Lawful, and the technical officer is David Field. After the news, Jenny reads a poem by Seamus Heaney. Today, sunrise is at 6 a.m. and sunset is at 8:15.
A third anti-racism protest took place in Oxford after violent disorder erupted elsewhere in the UK. The civil unrest came after the killing of three young girls in Southport, after which disinformation was spread about the suspect on social media. The campaign group Stand Up to Racism organised a protest in Bond Square outside the Westgate on Saturday, August the 10th, the third rally in the city in 6 days. Demonstrators carried placards and banners displaying slogans such as No to Racism and Refugees Welcome, Stop the Far Right. Speaking to the crowds, the councillor for Oxford City Council, Alex Powell, said, "We are all better when we are united and stand up for one another, so thank you for being here. This is not a moment for complacency," he added. The full story will come in the next edition.
Pupils at schools and sixth form colleges across Oxfordshire have jubilantly celebrated after a set of amazing A-level results. Students headed straight to their respective schools early on Thursday morning, August the 15th, to learn of their educational fate as results were released. Teens had high hopes of attending universities, gaining apprenticeships, or going straight into employment, all riding on a few letters printed on a page in the all-important letter. At Magdalen College School, as many as 5 students attained 5 A-star grades, which led to several Oxbridge admissions. Elsewhere, Headington School headmistress Caroline Jordan praised her pupils, saying, "What an absolutely tremendous set of results. I'm incredibly proud of these girls, their attitude to learning and approach to school life." Wood Green School, based in Witney, had 42% of students achieving A-star to B grades and 98% achieving A-star to E. Also in West Oxfordshire, the Burford School saw 24% of students achieving A-star to A and 80% earning A-star to C grades. At the Bartholomew School in Ensham, 39% of pupils earned an A-star or A grade, while 85% achieved A-star to C grades. At the Cooper School in Bicester, 23% of the grades achieved were A-star or A, an improvement for last year. At Wickham Park Academy in Banbury, 80% of students got into their top choice of university, and students at Blessed George Napier, also in Banbury, achieved one of the best sets of key stage 5 results, with over half of all grades being A-star to B. North Oxfordshire Academy, also in Banbury, saw 74% of students gaining A-star to C, and students at the Bicester School celebrated another fantastic set of A-level results and vocational results. At the Warriners School, just outside Banbury, 55% of students achieved A-star to B grades, and at Chenderick, also just outside Banbury, just under 70% of students gained places at their first choice of university. Students at the Bicester School achieved another fantastic set of A-level and vocational results, headteacher Tony Rushworth said.
An independent jeweller has won a competition run by the Ashmolean Museum and an International Contemporary Crafts Festival. Mia Horton will partner with the Oxford Museum and Handmade Oxford to create an exclusive jewellery collection after she won the Handmade Oxford competition. The new line will be sold in the museum's gift shop and online later this year. Ms. Horton's brand, Miju Creations, based in Wiltshire, fits the Ashmolean's retail strategy of working with UK-based independent makers and focuses on natural, sustainable materials for products. Miju Creations offers unique pieces made of silver, enamel and gemstones. Claire Lane, commercial director at the Ashmolean, says, "The Ashmolean love selling bespoke designs and handmade Oxford provides a wonderful showcase to discover new talent. Mia's creative process really appealed to us, and we are thrilled to be able to offer her the opportunity to create a timeless piece inspired by our collections that will be gifted or treasured forever by our customers." Miss Horton added, "I knew that this competition ran at Handmade Oxford, but I never thought I would have the honour to win it. There are so many talented artists working in different mediums at the event that it feels like a dream come true to win." During her work process, she said, "I find inspiration in many different things, including nature, the beauty of geometry and, of course, art and antiquities. I often start my creative process with a small grain of an idea, which begins to develop with little doodles and sketches while I work on other things. Once I feel an idea has taken hold, I will play with it in metal. This may be making a part of the piece to give me a 3D view of it and experimenting with some colours in enamel. Once I feel I have found the element that is most important, I can develop it in different ways to create a collection of pieces to complement each other or be worn together." She added, "For my series of mountain pendants, I have drawn inspiration from Hokusai's 36 views of Mount Fuji. I love the bold colours used in the landscapes and the way the mountain is always in the picture, but not always the main event. The simplicity of these pendants and the gorgeous colours of the enamel have really caught customers' attention. Last year's ceramic artist who won the competition worked with Ashmolean to create a collection called the Ruskin's Kingfisher Range, based on Ruskin's study of a kingfisher drawing."
According to a new study, plumbing is the most sought-after trade job in Oxford. The study by flooring specialist Mr. Sander, analysing Google search data, has revealed the trade jobs in highest demand based on average keyword search volumes. Plumbing proved to be the most popular trade in Oxford. An average hourly salary of £16.49, along with minimal educational requirements, make it an attractive career choice. Bricklaying also held strong interest, coming in at number two on the list. The average yearly income for a bricklayer is £31,851, although this is dependent on several factors, and entry to this field is possible via training courses or an apprenticeship. The role of an electrician has an average hourly earning rate of £17.51. And painting and decorating and the trade of being a carpenter also made the top five. Anthony Miller, CEO of Mr. Sander, said, "These trends in job searches show a continued interest in skilled trade jobs. Skilled trade jobs like those in the study are in high demand, and the best way to begin a career in these roles is usually through education and hands-on training. These approaches not only prepare individuals for successful careers in these jobs, but also ensures that they are well equipped to take advantage of the high earning potential."
Oxfordshire has been named the most affordable county to set up camp across the UK. According to new research, the average price for camping in the county is £37 for two-night tent pitch. Many sites are set in picturesque locations such as the Cotswolds, offering a blend of scenic beauty and accessibility to near attractions like Blenheim Palace and the historic city of Oxford. The research was conducted by credit card company Aqua and analysed metrics, including the number of walking trails, the number of campsites, average costs, average rainfall, and average temperature in each area.
Eight areas of a 108-acre plot of arable land have now been planted with trees as efforts to create community woodland continue. Cherwell District Council and the Friends of Burnhill Community Woodland have partnered to establish the woodland on the plot located between Kingsmere in Bicester and Chesterton. The council agreed to take ownership of the land from Countryside Properties in August 2020. Under the agreement, no houses can be built. The trees were sourced from eForests, the Woodland Trust, and community members, and have been planted by Friends of the Burnhill Community Woodland, Bicester Green Gym, and the Bicester 41 Club, among others. The woodland's layout has been revised following archaeological surveys and the establishment of footpaths. Some bridges have been installed over ditches, and there are plans to put a hard surface on the two public footpaths across the site. Hedging has been planted around an area put aside for an orchard. 11 apple trees were planted in this space in 2022 as a trial. Cherwell District Council has secured a grant from DEFRA to plant the rest of the orchard with apples, pears and other fruit trees, 50 of which have been planted, with another 108 to be planted this autumn. A gate and kissing gate for the orchard have been supplied through a grant, and security gates to the site of Vendee Drive have been fitted.
Bus and rail operators have expressed support for Oxford United's new stadium plans. Oxford Bus Company, Stagecoach and Chiltern Railways described Oxford United's proposed new stadium as a great opportunity to grow sustainable travel and enhance active travel options for the community. The stadium design includes a 180-bed hotel and what would be the largest conference and event space in Oxfordshire to enhance the county's national and international appeal. Economic studies have found that the stadium would make a large positive contribution to the Oxfordshire economy, with more than £32 million generated per year. The proposed new stadium would be located on land known locally as the Triangle, opposite Oxford Parkway rail station near Kidlington. Tony Baxter, Operations Director of Chiltern Railways, said, "The proposed Oxford United Stadium provides a significant opportunity to grow public transport usage on match days. We are working with the Department for Transport to increase the number of trains we operate across our network, which would provide us with the additional capacity needed to serve the stadium on match days, while also delivering our normal timetables. We're also working closely with Oxford United to review improvements to customer facilities at Oxford Parkways. These could include creating queuing systems, improving walking and cycling access to the station, and enhancing customer facilities such as toilets and waiting shelters." Luke Marion, Managing Director of Oxford Bus Campaign, said, "Oxford Bus Group wholeheartedly supports the new stadium proposal. The venue would be in a more sustainable location than the existing site due to its proximity to existing high-frequency bus routes, two park-and-ride sites and Oxford Parkway rail station. We're working closely with the club on how we would enhance the ever-growing matchday bus shuttle service that we currently operate. This has been highly effective at the Kasam Stadium, and we would increase the service at the Triangle. It is a great opportunity to provide more active travel options for people and transform how they visit the stadium into sustainable modes. Moreover, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Oxfordshire to create something truly special for the community. the conference centre would be a game changer for Oxfordshire's tourism sector, which is vital to the local economy. Chris Hansen, Managing Director of Stagecoach West, said, "This proposal is an incredibly exciting prospect for the city of Oxford and the county. The new location provides a natural hub for the community to access the fantastic facilities at the new stadium in a sustainable, environmentally conscious way. We already provide a range of high-frequency services in the area, linking the city centre, Kidlington and Bicester to Banbury Road and Oxford Parkway, and are excitedly working with the club on how we could ensure that more people can travel sustainably to the proposed new stadium."
An Oxfordshire police chief has said the county has an issue with food delivery drivers who illegally modify their bikes to reach speeds of up to 40 miles an hour. Chief Constable Jason Hogg made the comment at a County Council annual crime and disorder meeting held at the end of July, where he was grilled, along with Thames Valley Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Barber, on topics related to the force, which included transport issues. A rise in the popularity of food delivery services has also seen an increase in the use of bikes around cities for the service, and many drivers have come to switch to an electric one. Speaking at the meeting, Mr. Hogg said, "As a lot of these council meetings, e-bikes, e-scooters are mentioned all the time. It is an issue that is affecting the public. There is a gap in the legislation around this. We have got an issue with food delivery drivers. A lot of them have illegally modified electric bikes, some of which can go 40 miles an hour." The response came following a question asked by Conservative councillor Nigel Simpson. Mr. Simpson had said, "I come into Oxford every Sunday. You walk through the parks and suddenly you get onto High Street, and then you're just constantly looking because they're coming zooming down there, the Deliveroo drivers as well. You do question if they've got a licence, the ones on the mopeds. Are there any random checks that we're doing for these riders?" Police Chief Superintendent Benedict Clark said Mr. Simpson's questions, particularly around e-scooters and e-bikes. He said Oxfordshire, and particularly Oxford City, is probably one of the leaders for those operations in terms of targeting e-scooters and e-bikes. Mr. Hogg mentioned some schools had said they were going to start doing a complete ban on any child being allowed to come to school on an e-scooter or e-bike, to make it very clear that it is not acceptable.
An Oxford secondary school will host a charity's 10th Classic Summer School this month, with a focus on tree myths. The Iris Classic Centre at Cheyne School is hosting the annual event, targeted at children between 7 and 11 years of age. This year's programme celebrates the release of the Iris Project's Telling Tales in Nature series, which explores ancient Greek plant myths. As a result, and fitting with the theme of tree myths, the classes will be named after different trees. Each day, the groups will take part in beginners' lessons in Latin and ancient Greek, where they will learn new letters, words, and grammar. During their breaks, the children will continue to learn about the myths with a range of craft, creative writing, and art-based activities. There will also be a daily lucky dip with questions and face painting. A nature-themed costume contest inspired by characters from Greek myth will take place on the final day. There is still a small number of places available, and interested parents can find out more and book online. The Iris Project, a charity which promotes learning about the ancient world, is working with Cheyne School to grow a community classic centre at the Rumble Museum within the school. It is the first school museum to be awarded full museum accreditation by the Arts Council Museum Accreditation Scheme.
Following complaints about Botley Roadworks, contractors working for Network Rail on a £161 million scheme to improve Oxford Rail Station say they have been making progress at the site. Last month, Network Rail announced Botley Road would not reopen as planned at the end of October, as it is not possible to complete the necessary work on schedule. But contractors, Kier, say there have been some key achievements, including the installation of a new water main under the rail bridge, work on a new Platform 5, including track and foundations, and a new sewer installed under Beckett Street car park. Initially, Botley Road was supposed to reopen temporarily from October 2023 to March 2024. But delays forced Network Rail to rethink and announce the closure would continue until October 24. Last month, the Rail Authority announced there will be further delays, although it has not said yet when the road will reopen, due to the complexity of diverting a large number of underground utility cables. A Network Rail spokesperson said, "We continue to work with the Department of Transport and local authority partners as we undertake a full review of the programme and will update on timescales for the next steps of the project as soon as we are able. The review will look at what has been achieved so far, what remains to be done, plus the timescales and budget required. It will also consider options for rescheduling the replacement of Botley Road Railway Bridge. No decision has yet been made. This is an incredibly complex project involving multiple organisations, so although we know everyone wants clarity, we are taking the time to get it right so we can deliver these major improvements to rail services. Working on site is continuing, with the 100mm pipe for the new water main under the bridge being installed recently, plus preparation work for the new platform on the western side. The main reason for expanding the station is to facilitate east-west rail services that will eventually run between Oxford and Cambridge via Milton Keynes and Bedford. Plans for reopening the Cowley branch line are being developed by the City Council. The discovery of a brick arch last year, thought to be part of the original Victorian drainage system in Botley Road, added to the overspend on the scheme. The new Rail Minister, Lord Hendy, will have to make the decision on how the scheme moves forward once the review is completed. The County Council has continued to say communication on the project is the responsibility of Network Rail, and all comment on an opening date before a formal announcement is speculative.
Hundreds of homeless children in Oxford are being housed in temporary accommodation, new figures show. Labour described the homelessness crisis as a national scandal, as the number of children living in temporary accommodation hit a record high. The Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government figures show 244 households were living in temporary accommodation as of the end of March. Of these, 105 households had 205 children, up from 95 a year earlier. Nationally, a record 120,000 households were living in temporary accommodation. Meanwhile, the number of children rose by 15%, surpassing the 150,000 and reaching the highest figure since records began in 2004. Temporary accommodation is a form of homelessness and can include people living in hostels or bed and breakfasts. Big Issue founder and crossbench peer Lord Bird, who has spoken out about his experience of growing up in poverty, described the latest figures as appalling and warned that another winter looms and there's little being done to turn this terrible tide. The time for nebulous homelessness task forces and woolly cross-government strategies is over. This is an urgent and immediate crisis on which our new government must act now. In Oxford, as of March, 121 households were living in B&B hotels. By law, B B&Bs are only meant to be used for families in an emergency and for no longer than 6 weeks. But across England, the number of households with children exceeding that time frame has rocketed by 80% from 1,810 in 2023 to 3,250 this year. This included 14 in Oxford. Housing charity Shelter said that this government must tackle the housing emergency head on. Chief Executive Polly Neat said, "Without a clear plan to invest in genuinely affordable social homes, thousands more children will be forced to grow up in damaging temporary accommodation, spending months if not years living out of suitcases, crammed into grim bedsits and B&Bs, and unable to put down any roots." Deputy Prime Minister and Housing Secretary Angela Rayner said, "We are facing the most acute housing crisis in living memory, and homelessness remains at record levels. This is nothing short of a national scandal. Urgent action must be taken to fix this. That's why we are working across government and with local leaders to develop a long-term strategy to end homelessness for good. To prevent people from becoming homeless in the first place, Ms. Rayner said the government will deliver the biggest increase in social and affordable home building in a generation."
Engineers have slid a 3,700-ton viaduct deck, almost half a kilometre uphill, into position near the Oxfordshire border. Images released by HS2 showcase the 8-month engineering operation that saw the assembly of Wendover Dean's viaduct 450-metre deck. The deck, which weighs the equivalent of 264 double-decker buses, was assembled in 3 stages. Each section was attached from behind the previous one and pushed out from the north abutment, resulting in a weight increase with every push. It started with an initial 590 tonnes and gradually increased with each attachment until it weighed the 3,700 tonnes. During the slide, special pads covered in Teflon, a material usually found on the surface of a non-stick frying pan, were used to minimise friction between the deck and the temporary steel bearings on top of each of the concrete piers. HS2's head of delivery, Nicola Henderson-Reed, said, "The last 8 months have been incredible, and I'd like to thank everyone involved in getting us to where we are today. It's been fascinating to watch the deck slowly inch into position, and we now look forward to the next stage of the project, lowering the deck into its final position and completing the complex work, concrete work, that will support the new railway. The next stage we'll see the deck being lowered 60 centimetres onto the permanent bearings, which will eventually support the viaduct's full weight. The 2-month-long operation will see the steelwork above each pier lowered by 20 centimetres at a time, pier by pier, until the whole 450-metre-long deck settles into its final position. Work can then begin on the concrete that will support the railway, using a specially designed travelling formwork. This operation is expected to last approximately a year, after which parapets will be installed along the viaduct's edge. The Wendover Dean Viaduct is the first major railway bridge in the UK to be built with double composite structure, which uses significantly less carbon-intensive concrete and steel than a more traditional design. This design encompasses 2 steel beams sandwiched between 2 layers of reinforced concrete to create a super strong structure. Civil engineering firm EKFB's senior project manager, James Collings, said, "The final launch for Wendover Dean Viaduct marks 2 years of teamwork from EKFB and our supply chain partners, IF Metal. I'm very proud of our progress, and I would like to thank the team for their ongoing commitment to the safe delivery of the viaduct."
the UK's largest song festival, which is in Oxford, will offer 16 days of entertainment, including world premieres, this autumn. The Oxford International Song Festival, which runs from October the 11th to the 26th, will present more than 70 events featuring 200 singers, musicians and speakers. This year's theme is Cities That Have Inspired and Influenced Composers. The festival will include performances of Schubert and Schumann's works alongside contemporary music, chamber music and choral performances. Artists include Roderick Williams, Natalie Birch, Carolyn Sampson, Hiroshi Amako and Dame Sarah Collenley. The festival will introduce the world premiere of Silent Songs of Josephine, a new work by Ken Bilyeu, performed by soprano Mimi Dalton and pianist Dylan Perez on October the 15th. Also commissioned for the 2024 festival, Jess Tandy and Keval Shah will present their reimagining of the Bhagavad Gita on the same day, a project by Indian-American composer Reena Esmail. Annie Lebozek will lead the annual master course from October the 21st to the 26th, featuring eight duos from the festival's Young Artists Programme. The middle weekend of the festival, October the 19th to 20th, is dedicated to Franz Schubert, part of a build-up to the Schubert Bicentenary in 2028. A host of Song Connections events will include a celebration of Haydn's time in England and Oxford and an exploration into Leipzig and Berlin. Late-night performances at the candlelit 15th-century chapel of New College will also take place on October the 12th. Some tickets are free or priced at £7 to £10, with hundreds of tickets available for £13 or less. A range of discounts is offered to anyone booking multiple events, and tickets are available at £10 for all events for under 35s. The Sheldonian Theatre, the Holywell Music Room, and St John the Evangelist Church, SJE Arts, are amongst the venues for the festival. The festival's artistic director, Sholto Kynoch, said, "This is our 23rd festival and a thrilling fortnight of song awaits us, packed with 70 events and an array of world-class musicians. As well as the great works of Schubert and Schumann, we have a huge breadth of music, spanning centuries and in multiple languages. For those who are new to the festival, I hope they will find much to intrigue and inspire. Our celebratory and welcoming spirit is brighter than ever." The rich programme of songs is complemented by some exceptional chamber music and choral performances, and I feel that there is truly something here for everyone. Audience members may just choose a couple of favourite events, but I always say the best way to experience the festival is by immersion. If you can, take a day or two.
A hot weather, severe weather emergency protocol, SWEP, was in action for several days running up to Wednesday, the 14th of August. An SWEP means that the Oxford Street Population Outreach Team, run by the homeless charity St Mungo's, will provide enhanced and targeted services to those experiencing rough sleeping. The enhanced services involve signposting those sleeping rough to services and distributing resources such as water, sun cream and hats, as well as carrying out health assessments and welfare checks. According to the Oxfordshire Homeless Movement, those sleeping rough in Oxford can get water at the Town Hall Cafe, public leisure places, places listed with the Refill app, the Crisis Cafe on George Street, as well as Florence Park, Bury Knoll Park and Cutslow Park. Oxbot also provide water cups and sunscreen to people on the streets during daily rounds. Anyone concerned about someone rough sleeping, contact Oxbot on 07590 862 049 or outreach.oxford@mungos.org or contact 999 if someone is in immediate danger. Oxford City Council will continue to clear chewing gum from the city's streets after receiving grant funding to tackle the issue for a second year. The operation will focus on key locations including George Street, Newin Hall Street, Carfax, Queen Street, Heart of St Ebbs, High Street and St Aldate's down to Christchurch Meadows. The grant comes from the Chewing Gum Task Force, a partnership of the UK's major chewing gum producers, and has been administered by environmental charity Keep Britain Tidy. Councillor Alex Hollingsworth, Cabinet Member for Business, Culture and an Inclusive Economy, said, "This year's grant funding will help us to clean up the city's streets, but we need your help to keep them clean. By disposing of gum responsibly, we can make sure Oxford City Centre remains a welcoming place for residents, businesses and visitors. Together we can tackle this sticky issue and improve our environment." The council said residents, businesses and visitors regularly complain about gum litter. The removal of chewing gum is labour-intensive, requiring approximately 30 minutes to clear a 15 square metre area using a steam cleaner, followed by a mechanical sweeper to remove stains. ODS, which will work alongside the City Council to clean the streets, uses a repurposed 1973 electric milk float for these tasks, aligning with the city's sustainability efforts. Adrian Moss, City Centre and Street Scene Service Manager, said, "We're excited to use the Chewing Gum Task Force grant from Keep Britain Tidy for a second year to keep gum from key areas. This funding helps improve our historic streets appearance and supports our sustainability goals using our repurposed electric milk float. Chewing gum litter affects our city's beauty and accessibility. Last year's cleanup showed promising results. We're committed to making a lasting impact and keeping Oxford clean for everyone." Research by Behaviour Change, a social enterprise, shows areas cleaned in the first year of the scheme saw fewer incidents of gum littering 6 months after the cleanup. The Chewing Gum Task Force, established by DEFRA and operated by Keep Britain Tidy, focuses on encouraging long-term behavioural changes to reduce gum littering. Alison Ogden-Newton, Keep Britain Tidy's chief executive, added, "Chewing gum litter is highly visible on our high streets and is both difficult and expensive to clean up. However, once gum has been cleaned up, it is vital to remind the public that when it comes to litter, whether it's gum or anything else, there is only one place it should be, in the bin. And that is why the behaviour change element of the task force's work is so important."
An electric vehicle charging hub in Oxford has supplied almost 10 million miles to motorists since it opened 2 years ago. Since its launch in July 2022, Energy Superhub Oxford at Redbridge Park and Ride has charged nearly 90,000 vehicles, approximately 122 each day. It has also charged 9,750,000 electric vehicle miles in this time. In collaboration with EDF Renewables UK, Habitat Energy, Invinity Energy Systems, Kensa and the University of Oxford, the site has provided more than 2.75 million kilowatt hours of electricity and saved 2,400 tonnes of carbon.
A decision to keep open a dangerous level crossing has been met with concern from one politician who argues the move represents the worst of both worlds. Network Rail, which owns the nation's railway tracks, had been looking to close the crossings between Kidlington and Yarnton as part of a national programme to shut those with high risk of incidents or fatalities. But the authority now announced last week that the decision had been deferred because the anticipated growth in the use of freight trains has not yet materialised. The Sandy Lane level crossing sits on a fast, straight section of track between Oxford and Banbury and is well used by shoppers heading to Yarnton Garden Centre. Opponents said Network Rail had never counted the traffic using the level crossing, nor made any assessment of the impact the closure of Sandy Lane would have on locals accessing key facilities. Green Kidlington councillor Ian Middleton suggested he did not take a strong position either way as to whether he thought the crossing should close or remain open. He added, "Everyone's been working on the basis it will be closed. This throws plans up in the air and leaves everything in limbo. We need clarity from Network Rail. This is almost the worst of both worlds. I don't believe it's never going to close. I imagine going into the next couple of years, the discussions will start again. It's a bit early to be celebrating." The comments around celebrating come after Cherwell Liberal Democrat councillor Leslie McLean shared her relief at Network Rail's deferred announcement. Ms. McLean said, "This decision follows many years of campaigning by Kidlington councillors to keep this vital inter-village road link open and to support much needed vehicular connectivity for the residents and businesses of Kidlington, Yarnton and Begbroke." Liberal Democrat councillors are now in discussions with Oxfordshire County Council to establish planned and monitored approach to traffic use of Sandy Lane over the coming years. In 2021, a petition against the closure of the Sandy Lane level crossing amassed 2,000 signatures after three parish councils wrote a letter calling for a proper assessment before any closure, as residents were extremely concerned. A Network Rail spokesman said, "Our plans to close Sandy Lane and Yarnton Lane level crossings have been deferred. We will continue to monitor freight demand through this corridor over the coming years to establish when the closure of these level crossings is required. The frequency of freight trains at these locations remains unchanged."
A former homeless man has been jailed for 3 years after setting a fire near a city centre nightclub. Michael Corcoran, who was homeless at the time of the offence, set fire to his belongings in Frewin Court near the entrance to Plush nightclub at about 10:45 in the evening on April the 3rd this year. The 37-year-old claimed he'd been looking through his things while playing with a lighter and the fire had started accidentally. Two fire engines put out the blaze, which eyewitnesses described as having high flames. Corcoran of Walton Street, Oxford, was arrested and charged with one count of arson with recklessness to endanger life. He was sentenced at Oxford Crown Court on Thursday to 3 years of imprisonment. During the sentencing, it was heard that Corcoran had been released from a substantial prison sentence a month before the incident and had been sleeping rough in the doorway near the Plush nightclub. He was caught on CCTV riffling through his belongings as well as his friends before a fire started smouldering. It was the Crown's case it had been started deliberately, as Corcoran sent a text following the blaze to a friend reading, "Your stuff is on fire." However, Corcoran interrupted the sentencing, saying, "If it was my stuff, why would I set fire to it? It was reckless, but it was accidental. It was my stuff. I don't deny responsibility for it, in it, but I didn't go there with no intent and to set stuff on fire." He explained he had been cooperating with the terms of his release from prison and attending probation hearings. "It's the first time I've done that," he said. "Normally I go straight on the run. It was the first time I abided. And then 4 weeks later this happened, and it is the worst luck in the world. I apologise for what happened. Do you know what I mean? but it was a sheer accident. After his arrest, Corcoran was remanded to serve the rest of his previous sentence until February 2027. His 3-year sentence for arson will run concurrently alongside his current sentence. Sentencing him, Judge Mariah Lamb said, "Your very reckless behaviour that night ended up in a fire taking hold in an alleyway. You can see the ferocity of the flames when they take hold. It seems to me there was a risk of substantial damage being caused, and indeed there was. This took place near a public amenity, so there was the potential life endangerment of a number of people." She said that mercifully the nightclub was closed that evening and no one was injured.
Findings from an Oxford research study published in the Current Biology journal show that there is an urgent need for policymakers and health services to consider how antibiotic-resistant bacteria with antimicrobial resistance, or AMR, can spread outside hospital settings. AMR occurs when disease-causing microbes, such as bacteria, become resistant to antibiotics that would otherwise kill them. The study found that wild birds living close to humans, such as crows and ducks, contained a wider range of bacterial strain and up to 3 times more AMR genes than birds living in more isolated environments, such as mountains. This included genes associated with resistance against many commonly used human antibiotics. It is estimated that in England, over 58,000 people had severe antibiotic-resistant infections in 2022, and over 2,200 of them died. In the study, researchers analysed 700 samples of bacteria taken from the guts of 30 species of wild birds across 8 countries, including the UK. They looked at common diarrhea-causing bacteria found in birds' guts microbiomes and the bacteria, viruses, and fungi that live inside us and on our skin. Genetic signals associated with AMR were found across all the bird species studied. Professor Samuel Shepherd, Digital Microbiology and Bioinformatics Lead in the INEOS Institute for Antimicrobial Research and Department of Biology, Oxford University, said, "Antimicrobial resistance is a complex problem that affects not only human health, but also animals and the environment. Wild birds have the potential to transfer AMR over long distances to livestock raised for meat consumption and companion animals such as pets. This can have economic implications for agriculture, animal welfare, and food security. Our study is the first to demonstrate that wild bird populations in cities are reservoirs of bacteria resistant to many important human antibiotics. There is an urgent need to understand how human activity is influencing the spread of zoonotic diseases and AMR. Birds can travel large distances, and many species identified in the study, such as the crows and rushes, are prevalent in urban environments in close contact with humans. Animals living in urban environments are exposed to various sources of antimicrobial resistance bacteria, such as wastewater contaminated rivers, and could play a role in spreading these to humans. As human populations continue to grow, urbanisation disrupts the existing environment as well as the animals that live there, potentially leading to increased contact between humans and wild animals. The experts suggest the data provided by their research will be invaluable for future studies to understand the full impact of human expansion on the spread of zoonotic disease and AMR.
Concerns are being raised over the very limited availability of public toilets in Oxford, as one politician continues to insist there are only 2 major facilities, despite the council listing 8. Councillors have weighed in with their thoughts on the subject after independent Temple Cowley representative Sarj Malik told us he was disappointed at there being just two facilities in the city. The City Council website lists eight in the city centre at Gloucester Green, Market Street, Oxford Town Hall, Magdalen Street East, Oxpens, Oxford Westgate Library, the Westgate Centre and Oxford Train Station. Mr. Malik explained, with all due respect, the Town Hall and other places close at a certain time. I had also classified the city centre differently. The councillor recognised the toilets at Gloucester Green and Market Street as major facilities, but then went on to discuss each of the public toilets listed, giving arguments about them. He suggested Magdalen Street East was half a public toilet after it had been made unisex, that Westgate is not run by the City Council, and of course there is one there, it's like having one in McDonald's, and any station will have a toilet, and they are disgusting there. An Oxford City Council spokesman said there are eight sets of public toilets located in or around the city centre. Four are managed by ODS on behalf of the council, and one is within the town hall. A full list of all public toilets in the city is available on the council's website. The train station toilets are not managed by the city council. Graham MacDonald of the ice cream gelateria store in the covered market said, "There are never enough public toilets. I think it's true of many cities. Sadly, we often have to send people to M&S. There is very limited availability after 5:30. Mr. MacDonald said he gets asked a lot about toilets and that for people who weren't customers, it was the most commonly asked question. Independent Oxford Alliance councillor David Henwood said, "Some of our toilets have been labelled by many as grim and hardly reflect well on picturesque Oxford." Now, Thomas Crapper was born in 1838 and he invented the water closet, a ballcock and an S-bend, and lent him name to many modern words associated with his name and business. With engineers like him to reinvent or come up with innovative ideas in public toilet design, that in turn would improve Oxford's toilets. Liberal Democrat City Council Group Leader Dr. Chris Snowton added, "We can't underestimate how important public facilities can be, particularly for disabled people who are less likely to find it easier to access toilet provided within commercial premises such as cafes. They are always vulnerable to closure during a budget squeeze. I hope the city gives them high priority."
A riverside pub on the edge of the city has set up a cinema in its garden to screen classic movies. The Victoria Arms in Old Marston showed Mamma Mia and Back to the Future last month, and by the middle of August should have shown the Bond movie Casino Royale and the 1970s musical Grease. Films are being shown in the garden on a big screen, and cinema goers are being asked to sign up to attend even though the screenings are free. Films begin at 7:30. A member of staff said, "So far the films have been popular. Of course, we just hope the weather stays fine. When it's the summertime, all our customers like to eat and drink outside. It's very different in the winter." The Victoria Arms in Old Marston has won Oxfordshire's Best Pub in the National Pub and Beer Awards. Judges said the team demonstrated excellence in design, service, food and drink and style of offer. Oxford Preservation Trust bought the Victoria Arms and adjoining land in 1959 to save the nearly derelict building and protect the area from development. Fully renovated, the pub reopened in summer 1986 and has become a firm favourite on the Oxford pub scene. The former ferryman's cottage on the banks of the River Charwell dates back to the 17th century and once hosted Oliver Cromwell, who was Lord Protector after Charles I was defeated in the English Civil War. There's a plaque on the wall in the dining area commemorating the visit. There is a terrace and a large beer garden next to the river, and they are popular with tourists, sports clubs, students, canoeists, and paddleboarders.
Oxford has been named as one of the most frustrating UK cities to drive in by a new study. The study by car insurance experts at Marshmallow placed Oxford as the fourth most frustrating city, behind only Bradford, Wolverhampton and Swindon. The research considered commute times, fuel costs, car expenses, electric vehicle charges and car park availability to come up with the leaderboard. The average cost of a car in Oxford is more than £31,000, higher than in any of the other 10 most frustrating cities. It does have a relatively high number of electric vehicle charges compared to the size of the population, but has no NCP car parks, which provide drivers with a ticket when they enter and allows them to pay later. The other places in the top 10 were St Albans, Peterborough, Reading, Leeds, Middlesbrough and Huddersfield. Bradford is the most frustrating city to drive in, with an average commute time of 44 minutes. The city lacks electrical vehicle infrastructure, with just 39 chargers available. At the other end of the scale, Manchester was named as the best UK city to drive in. Despite lengthy commutes and high car prices, it boasts the highest number of car parks and parking spaces among the cities analysed, and it also has 63 electric vehicle chargers per 100,000 people.
The leader of Oxford City Council has condemned the unacceptable behaviour of a group of travellers in Oxford. A large encampment of caravans arrived at South Park at around 8 p.m. on Tuesday the 13th of August and were issued with an evacuation notice by Oxford City Council to leave by 10 a.m. on Thursday the 15th of August. The group left South Park on Wednesday evening at around 4 p.m. before pitching up at Oxford City Football Club. Oxford City Football Club was forced to close but has since reopened after the traveller group left the county. Multiple police cars and a police van arrived at the camp just off St Clement's in South Park on Wednesday afternoon to keep watch on the group in the park. Householders near the park were left shocked as travellers drove trucks and work vans round the site and performed donuts, tight circles, at speed. Officers were also called to Oxford City's ground, but the force said no criminal offences or antisocial behaviour was reported from either of the encampments. Susan Brown, leader of Oxford City Council, confirmed the sites had been cleared and broken locks now been fixed. She said the travellers have now left Oxford and the county. "I'd like to say a big thank you to the City Council and Thames Valley police officers for their quick and professional approach in handling this situation. The sites have been cleared and resecured, including replacing broken locks, and we're working with Oxford City Football Club and our parks teams to minimise the risk of this happening again." The group's behaviour in South Park and towards the public and staff at Court Farm Place was unacceptable and we will not tolerate it. "The safety and well-being of local people will always be our priority, and we will do what we can to resolve situations like this quickly and prevent them from happening again." A Thames Valley Police spokesperson said, "Thames Valley Police were made aware of an unauthorised encampment in South Park on Tuesday the 13th. Working alongside the landowners, Oxford City Council, and those who were residing at the location, we can confirm that a 60C notice was served on the encampment, which then moved on to Oxford City Football Club. We then worked alongside the council and Oxford City, and we can now confirm that the unauthorised encampment has left Oxfordshire. No criminal offences or antisocial behaviour has been reported linked to either of these encampments. We would like to thank the public for their patience and understanding while officers responded to the issue. Oxford Roundtable has helped with the cleaning up efforts at South Park. John Worsford, chairman of Oxford Roundtable, said, "We were delighted to be able to help. A quick rally call at short notice to the group, and a handful of us got down there to clear up the mess left behind."
Fresh calls are being made to open up an LTN, low traffic neighbourhood in Oxford, with another road closure planned for the weekend. Littlemore councillors Anne Stairs and Trish Elphinstone say the traffic measures in Crowell Road should be halted while Newman Road is closed for repairs on August the 17th to 18th between 8 and 6 p.m. The road will be shut to allow utility contractor to make good a failed repair they carried out after the County Council noticed the error. LTNs, restrict traffic through residential areas, were introduced in Oxford in May 2022 with the aim of making streets safer, but have since proved controversial and have been blamed for increasing congestion. The calls come as the Littlemore roundabout on the Eastern Bypass was closed to traffic on Friday, August the 2nd, and on Monday, August the 5th, between those two dates, for resurfacing works. This has also prompted a plea for the County Council to open up the Crowell Road LTN, as some households argued this would help ease congestion. In response to upcoming works, independent Oxford Alliance City Councillor Miss Stairs said, "I would remind this council that due to the implementation of ANPR cameras on Crowell Road, Newman Road is a main arterial access road, and therefore, once again, Littlemore is to be subjected to severe disruption, this time without the courtesy of appropriate warning. I am, of course, requesting that local traffic be allowed to have access through the Crowell Road ANPR during this period, as this provides a temporary and important common sense solution to the potential disruption." Labour County Council for the Littlemore areas, Ms. Elphinstone, added, "I have asked officers and the Cabinet Minister for Highways for the Crowell Road to be open during these works. With Newman Road out of action, this is a main route out for people from the Herschel Crescent area, and they will need to use Cowley Road Littlemore instead for all access. Cowley Road is itself a key cycle route leading to Crowell Road and then the Rymers Lane LTN route. I have asked if this alternative option could be considered, as it would be most appreciated by residents by reducing pressure of traffic to one road and maintaining a safe route for cyclists." Oxfordshire County Council says a diversion route via Cowley Road and Oxford Road has been put in place to allow people living in Newman Road to access their properties and the wider highway network during this time. A spokesman added, "As a result, there are no plans to relax the LTN traffic restriction on Crowell Road. The impact of the closure on the highway network will be monitored during the duration." The County Council spokesman added, "As part of the temporary road closure process, the Council will always inform stakeholders."
An animal lover at a tame care home has seen her dream of having her own pets again come true. Jennifer Evans has had many pets, her most recent being a dog named Toby, who lives with a friend but regularly visits her at Cuttlebrook Hall. But when the staff at the home learned of the 84-year-old's love for animals, they decided to welcome two rabbits to the home. Ms. Evans said, "I loved going to pick up Billy and Bobby from the pet store. Out of all the animals, they looked so kind and friendly, and I knew I'd love taking care of them. I enjoyed going to see them every morning to help feed them. I love sitting in the garden, seeing them hop about, having a happy and fulfilling life." The two rabbits have a hutch and a rabbit run in the home's gardens. Home manager Alana Corr said, "Jenny always looks forward to visits from Toby So when she expressed her desire for pets at Cuttlebrook Hall, we were eager to make it happen. Animals have a huge impact on our physical and mental health, and it's been wonderful to see how happy the new additions have made Jenny and her fellow residents. Jenny is an amazing pet mum, and it's been fantastic watching her show the other residents how to care for the rabbits.
That was the last news item for this week's Ox Talk. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, then please ring Margaret on a new number, 07496 062280, and do please leave your name and contact or phone number so that we can return your call. This edition and previous editions of Ox Talk can be found on our website, oxtalk.org.uk, and you can listen there or you can download an edition to listen at your leisure. And it's goodbye from me, and I wish you a peaceful week. Goodbye.
I would like to read you a poem by the Irish poet Seamus Heaney. It is an extended metaphor for the painful process of growing up and losing childhood innocence. It describes the experience of picking blackberries in August and watching them spoil, which symbolises the fleeting nature of childhood memories and the harsh realities of time and adulthood. Blackberry picking. Late August, given heavy rain and sun for a full week, the blackberries would ripen. At first, just one, a glossy purple clot among others, red, green, hard as a knot. You ate that first one, and its flesh was sweet, like thickened wine. Summer's blood was in it, leaving stains upon the tongue and lust for picking. Then red ones inked up, and that hunger sent us out with milk cans, pea tins, jam pots, where briars scratched and wet grass bleached our boots. Round hayfields, cornfields, and potato drills, we trekked and picked until the cans were full, until the tinkling bottom had been covered with green ones, and on top big dark blobs burned like a plate of eyes. Our hands were peppered with thorn pricks, our palms sticky as bluebeards. We hoarded the fresh berries in the byre, but when the bath was filled, we found a fir, a rat-grey fungus, glutting on our cash. The juice was stinking too. Once off the bush, the fruit fermented. The sweet flesh would turn sour. I always felt like crying. It wasn't fair that all the lovely canfills smelt of rot. Each year I hoped they'd keep. Knew they would not.
Notice to listeners of Ox Talk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to Ox Talk using Alexa. To listen to Ox Talk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper. Then, to listen to Ox Talk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Ox Talk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact OxTalk and we will try to help.